Welcome to Thriving with ADHD, a podcast where we'll share everyday practical tips to thrive in life as an adult with ADHD. This podcast is brought to you by Animo Sano Psychiatry, a behavioral health practice with a specialist ADHD clinic based in North Carolina. And this is your host, Nada Pupovac. Welcome to the fifth episode of Thriving with ADHD, dear ADHD community. Today we are talking about mindfulness and ADHD. Practicing mindfulness brings many benefits to our lives, and although it might sound counterintuitive, mindfulness as a non-pharmacological tool is increasingly used in ADHD management as it helps with many aspects of the condition. We are excited to welcome our friend from Be Bold Psychology Clinic, Brianna Garcia, who will share more details about this topic. Let me tell you a bit more about Brianna. Brianna is a licensed clinical social worker associate. Her areas of expertise are anxiety, trauma, grief and loss, life transitions, stress management, self-compassion, and many others. Brianna's sessions are trauma-informed, resiliency-focused, and social justice-oriented, and we truly look forward to this conversation with her. Brianna, warmest welcome to our Thriving with ADHD podcast. Our teams have a beautiful cooperation, and I can't wait to share your expertise with our audience.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right, so let's kick off with the first question. In this episode, we are talking about ADHD and mindfulness. So is it true that practicing mindfulness can help with attention span and executive functioning? And how can that be achieved?
Yeah, great question. So the short answer is yes. Mm-hmm. The long answer is absolutely. So there are plenty of studies that show that mindfulness can help with a variety of things, but particularly with attention span and executive functioning. Mm-hmm. So with executive functioning, basically when you practice mindfulness, it thickens your prefrontal cortex. And so your prefrontal cortex is kind of like the front part of your brain. Mm-hmm. And that front part of your brain, it's responsible for planning and decision-making and self-control and problem-solving. Mm-hmm. And those are all areas where people with ADHD sometimes struggle. So practicing mm-hmm. mindfulness can help you, be able to do those things a little bit easier. Another way that mindfulness helps with attention span and executive functioning is it raises dopamine levels. Mm-hmm. So studies have shown that, people with ADHD have lower levels of dopamine. And dopamine, is responsible for memory and motivation, mm-hmm. attention, and pleasure. So typically, if we have the right amount of dopamine, we feel alert, happy, focused, motivated. Mm-hmm. When we don't have enough dopamine, we typically feel sleepy or unmotivated or sad. Maybe we have memory or concentration issues. Mindfulness helps with that dopamine, helps with the prefrontal cortex, helps us pay attention. It's just a wonderful way to help you with those struggles with executive functioning.
Okay, so one question regarding this. One of the forms of ADHD has hyperactivity, and how to make someone be still and practice mindfulness. I don't know if this is a correct question, but how someone with ADHD can go about this and start practicing? It sounds a bit daunting, how to say.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. So, for people that do struggle with like mm-hmm. hyperactivity or inability to pay attention, yes, it will be hard, yeah. especially in the beginning. It yeah. will be hard. Yeah. It is not something that comes easy to you. It may feel kind of boring. Mm-hmm. I'll say, there's many different types of mindfulness. There mm-hmm. are some that if I practice, I'm going to fall asleep. There's no way I'm going to get through the whole thing. It's so mm-hmm. relaxing, so calming, sometimes so boring. I fall asleep. Mm-hmm. But then there are others that, really help re-energize me. So what I would tell people is, just give it a chance. There's many different types of mindfulness out there. Start mm-hmm. small. And acknowledge that, yeah, this is like weird. Like I, you know, it's hard for me to sit here and just concentrate nonstop. But the other thing I want to say, Nada, too, is that a lot of times people think mindfulness is like you sit crisscross applesauce in a mountain and you like, and just, you know, like mind is free of thoughts. That's not necessarily what mindfulness has to be. For some people, yeah, they want to go to mountains and, you know, meditate, and that's fine. But there's a lot of different ways to practice mindfulness, which I'm sure we'll go into later.
All right. Also, the next question is about emotional regulation, and we know it is very important for patients with ADHD. So can mindfulness help with this?
So definitely mindfulness can help with emotional regulation. And for our listeners out there, emotional regulation in a nutshell is just your ability to control your emotions. And that's particularly important, you know, maybe if you're not in a safe environment to express your emotions, maybe there are social consequences for impulse control. Like it's a very important thing to have. And so the way that mindfulness helps with emotional regulation is it helps you become more familiar with your triggers and bodily sensations. So when I say triggers and bodily sensations, sometimes, you know, we react and we just get so angry. And then when we're done, we're like, whoa, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I, you know, do that? With mindfulness, what it does is it's almost like a pause button. We can pause and be like, oh, okay. Like my heart is racing. I'm sweating. My face is getting red. I must be really angry. Maybe I need to go take a break. I'm going to stop this conversation for now. So what mindfulness does is, again, helps us recognize those body sensations and those triggers of, you know, the things that really get us emotionally charged. And then it helps us make decisions in advance or like prepare ourselves. Another way that it helps with emotional regulation is that it helps us like see the difference between different emotions. So sometimes, you know, we'll say, yeah, well, I'm just so angry. I just can't believe they did that. But really, you're sad. You're sad because you wanted them to see your perspective. And what mindfulness can do is it can help you understand, you know, the complexities of emotions. Maybe you're both angry and sad, but sometimes it's you're truly just sad and your body reacts in an angry way when really you were sad to begin with. And then, you know, another really good plus with emotional regulation and mindfulness is it helps those feelings and those emotions not feel so intense. So we're human beings. We're going to have emotions. We're going to get angry. We're going to feel sad. We're going to get frustrated or annoyed. But what mindfulness can do is instead of every emotion being a 10 out of 10, mindfulness can help bring it down to a 6 or maybe a 7 or maybe even a 4. It just depends. But it can be really helpful again. So that way we're not feeling like little ticking time bombs or little outbursts.
All right. Are there any other advantages of mindfulness for ADHD that we haven't mentioned in the conversation?
So I guess some other advantages of mindfulness for ADHD is that mindfulness has been shown to decrease levels of anxiety and stress and depression. So with ADHD, typically you'll see that it is associated with like higher levels of anxiety or stress or depression. So mindfulness can help mitigate those things. Mindfulness can also help you just improve your relationship with like the people around you. So again, that emotional regulation piece, that emotional connection, you feel like you can have a deeper, more authentic relationship with others when you express yourself and when you can hear their sides. And I think one of the coolest things about mindfulness is that it helps us have a better relationship with ourselves. It allows us to be more compassionate to ourselves, less judgmental, less shaming, more supportive and more accepting. It also helps with sleep too. So if anyone out there, you know, is struggling with insomnia, it can really help you, you know, have more restful and relaxing sleep.
This all sounds amazing. So I'd say the natural next question is if a person wants to start, and I'd say it's not just for ADHD, but for anyone, if they want to start practicing mindfulness, what's the best way to do it and what are the options? So we touched them a bit in a previous conversation, but let's elaborate more.
Yeah. So the definition that I always like to share is from Jon Kabat-Zinn. What he says is mindfulness is paying attention in a particular way on purpose in the present moment and non-judgmentally. So there's a lot of different ways to do that. So again, there are people, yes, that like go to the mountains and sit crisscross applesauce and like hum and chant. That is definitely a type of mindfulness. I would say that's kind of formal mindfulness. But typically, yeah, there's formal mindfulness and informal mindfulness. So formal mindfulness, that would be like those meditations. So the people like in the mountains doing chants and stuff. Also, you could do like deep breathing meditations, loving kindness meditations, you know, kind of intentionally thinking about something and, you know, meditating on it. Another one that people are sometimes surprised to know is prayer. Prayer is a type of formal mindfulness. You're setting time aside to specifically think about something or say something or do something. And that is a formal type of mindfulness. Same thing with like body scans, like trying to see how you feel from the crown of your head to the bottom of your toes. And then informal mindfulness, this is the one that I think that sometimes people can struggle with, at least in the beginning. But informal mindfulness is really just being mindful with those everyday things. So the one that I always like to recommend is, you know, mindfully doing the dishes. So like, try to pay attention. How does this water feel on my skin? What are the sounds that I'm hearing? How does it feel to move the sponge around? Now, for some people like me, it is kind of gross. Like when you hyper-focus on piece of food on the sponge, but it also makes you really present on, you know, what is it that you're actually doing. You can mindfully brush your teeth. You can mindfully eat. Really, I just recommend, you know, hone in on your senses. What do you see? What do you smell? What do you taste? What do you hear? What do you feel? And you can do that as you walk your dog. You can do that as you're laying in bed, kind of where do I feel pressure in my body? How does the blanket feel on top of me? How does, you know, when I take off the blanket, what sensations am I feeling? And those are just some informal ways of doing mindfulness. Of course, there's like apps. There's like a ton out there. I love Insight Timer. This is not sponsored.
All right. That's all right. We are okay with recommending anything that can help people, you know, in practical ways. So that's why we are here. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem. So yeah, I like Insight Timer, which is an app. There's a free version and a paid version, but I use the free one. It's good enough. And they have lots of different types of meditations and mindfulness practices. There's also, you know, plenty of classes online, YouTube videos. I know Netflix had like a collaboration with Headspace, and so they have some stuff on Netflix. There's a lot of resources out there, and you know, I'd always recommend again that people just give it a try. There will be some types of mindfulness that just seems impossible, and then you'd be surprised, like, whoa, like that was kind of nice, or I did kind of get out of my head for 2 minutes, or you know, 10 minutes, however long.
Yeah. If I understand this correctly, so I'd say the main thing is to stop and really pay attention to what's going on around you and inside you, just to check in with yourself and be present. So yeah, I think that sounds wonderful. Thank you. And I'd like to ask if there is one thing that you would like our listeners to remember from this episode, any piece of advice, quote or anything, what that would be.
Yeah, not a great question. So I guess in a quick sentence, it would be that mindfulness is a very powerful and very diverse tool and with so many things. So again, please, you know, research out there to see what works best for you, because I think that, you know, it can help everybody, but in unique ways. If I give you a longer answer, I would say that another thing I would want people to kind of take away from this is just the power of neuroplasticity. So we didn't get to dive too deep into that, but I could do a quick overview. But what neuroplasticity is in a nutshell is basically, you know, our brain's ability to form new pathways.
Okay.
Every time, you know, we think about something or we do something or we feel something, you can almost like imagine like there's like a road or something in your brain that's lighting up, and your brain always goes down that road. And it's really easy and almost unconscious for you to go down that road. But what neuroplasticity means is that we don't always have to go down that road. We can train our brain to take a different pathway. Now, at first, our brain's going to unconsciously go to the one it's always been doing. But eventually, it'll start carving that new pathway and thicken that pathway to where that becomes the default. And so what that has to do with mindfulness is, yes, in the beginning, when you try to sit down and take a deep breath and concentrate, your brain's going to think of everything you have to do right after that. Like it's going to be very hard to concentrate and to pay attention. But if you keep on practicing, eventually you will like naturally be mindful. Like when I do the dishes now, it truly is unconscious. I'm just like, oh, this water's too hot, or oh, this dish feels nice, or, you know, and it eventually becomes almost like second nature. Same thing with emotional regulation. You know, if our default is if somebody does something and we get angry and we scream at them, that would be kind of the default pathway for some of us. And if you practice mindfulness, instead of yelling being your default pathway, eventually maybe deep breathing will be your pathway. So when someone does something that angers you, you stop and you take like three deep breaths before even saying a word. I think that neuroplasticity is definitely something that I would want people to know about, and to know that, you know, there's nothing wrong with you if it's hard, if it feels unfamiliar, if it feels like this is impossible. Just give yourself grace and give yourself time, because it is possible, and you can do it.
And it sounds like there are many benefits. So I say, why wouldn't anyone try? So
yes.
Okay. Finally, please, if let me know if people want to learn more about you, your work with Be Bold Psychology and a team, and if they want to schedule a consultation, how they can do it.
Yeah. So we do have a website. It's www.beboldpsychnc.com. On that website, they can kind of see all of the members of our team. They can self-schedule a free 20-minute consult, and they can kind of see the services we offer. So we do offer like individual, group, family, relationship therapy. And alternatively, they can also text or call our admin team. So that number would be 919-525-1873.
All right. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you on this episode. We learned a lot about connection between ADHD and mindfulness. Hopefully this will inspire people to start practicing and incorporating this tool, how to say, in their management of the condition. Thank you so much.
No, thank you so much, Nora, for having me.
No problem. You're very welcome. Thank you for listening to Thriving with ADHD. This show is produced by Animo Sano Psychiatry. Please follow, rate, or share our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other streaming app of your choice. Music is by Daddy's Music from Pixabay. For more information about Animo Sano Psychiatry, please visit animosanopsychiatry.com.